Today I would like to share God's word with the sermon titled, The Fruit of Light. If someone asks you, what is the purpose, what is the ultimate purpose of Christian life, what would you say? We can say different things, but we can say we are created to worship Him and glorify Him and please Him. Westminster Shorter Catechism deals with this question, what is the chief end of man? It says, the man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. As you can see, the first purpose of human is not about us, but it's about God. So our first purpose of life or priority is to please Him and glorify Him. Remember, this is very important. It doesn't start from us, but it starts from God. What this tells us is that this should be the starting point of our thought. The way in which people live and what they live in not only changes the direction of life, but also the way of life. A person who makes the money as the purpose of life can become rich, but become a slavery of money. A person who makes power as a purpose of life can go up to a high position, but live a life in fear that they might fall and lose their power. A person who makes pleasure as a purpose of life can be seen as living a cool life, but live a life of emptiness that is hidden behind. So knowing the right purpose of life is extremely an important issue. According to the book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren from Saddleback Church, knowing the purpose and being driven by its purpose have five benefits. It says, it gives meaning to our life, it brings simple life, and it makes us to focus, and it gives us motivation, and it helps us to prepare our eternal life. So then, what is your purpose of life, and how is that driving you? We work hard, we study hard, we live hard. But sometimes, this thought comes to our mind, what am I doing? Is this the thing that I'm doing right now, is this something that I really want to do for the rest of my life? Why am I putting my time, energy, and money into what I'm doing now? You know, when we do things with some thoughts and plans. But when we can find the purpose and can find the answer to the question, what am I doing now? Then lose the direction in our lives and lose the passion in what we do. The world wants us to live a goal-oriented life and challenging us to continuously accomplish tasks and makes us to continuously compete with other people. So such way of living makes us tired, stressed, anxious. And such value affects us that we often forget the ultimate purpose of our lives, which is to glorify God, and makes us focus on our own accomplishment, which often leads us to steal away the glory that God needs to receive. So we need to remember that Christian life is not all about accomplishing our goals, but living according to the purpose. So today's scripture is presenting us with the purpose of our lives. It says, live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. Before God gives Christians purpose, He reminds us with Christians' identity. It reminds us that we were once lived in darkness. But when we were saved, God called us out of darkness into His light. Verse 8 says, for you are once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. God is light, and sin is darkness. And as you know, light and darkness cannot exist together. So if we're walking in the light, then darkness has to go. So the Christian who came into light and experienced the light, we must live as the children of light. And as the children of light, we must try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Those with children may see this at home. As your children, they try to do something that pleases their parents, right? My son, he loves and tries very hard to impress me, to please me. He's 11. And even the second one is learning from his brother. So whenever he cleans his room, whenever he plays with his brother, and he finishes like school assignment or project, he always comes to me and asks, he always comes to me for, you know, some kind of a compliment, or he asks his mom to tell me what he did, right? So, you know, whenever I go home, he's like, "Mommy, did you tell him?" Right? So I'm like, "What is it?" You know, my wife is like, "Oh, why don't you tell him?" Right? So he was like, "Oh, you know what? I did this, I did that," right? And he taps on his own shoulder like this, and he goes like, "Well done. Ah, 나 참 수고했다." Right? I was like, "Really? You're saying that to yourself?" It's like, "Oh, well done." Yeah, and he's complimenting himself. So he's very happy about pleasing me because I'm his father. You know, since he loves me so much, he doesn't like me being disappointed or angry. And because of this love, he instinctively wants to be a good son and do his best to please me. And yes, he indeed is a good son to me. Likewise, if we really love God and walk in the light with God, we will instinctively seek the way to know God's heart and will make us want to please him. Today's scripture shows us how the fruit of life can be found in those who walk as children of light, and it tells specifically how we can please him. First, the fruit of light is found in goodness. Fruit of light is found in goodness. The word good here signifies the characteristic of seeking the benefits of the neighbors rather than their own interest. Kindness and goodness are closely related, that they are often used interchangeably. They indicate an active desire to recognize and meet the needs of the others. Kindness comes from the Greek word Christotes, which not only means goodness as a quality of purity, but also as a gracious disposition in character and attitude. It encompasses tenderness, compassion, and sweetness. Goodness, as a fruit of the Spirit, is translated from Greek word agathousne, which is found only four times in the Bible. Maybe you can go home and find this and read it. There's Romans 15, 14, and Galatians 5, 22, and Ephesians 5, 9, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. You can see that there's goodness, and goodness, and every act. And it uses the word agathousne. When compared to kindness, goodness is the practice or expression of kindness or doing what is good. Kindness is a sincere desire for the happiness of other. Goodness is activity to advance that happiness. So simply speaking, goodness, you'll be like, "Oh my goodness, Pastor, what are you talking about?" But simply speaking, goodness is kindness in action, words and deeds. Most of our opportunities for good deeds will arise out of the course of our daily lives. The challenge for us is to be alert for these opportunities and see them not as an interruption or inconveniences, but as an opportunity for doing the good works that God has planned for us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Perhaps one of the most obvious areas in which God has prepared good work for us is at our workplace. Most of us spend half or more of our waking hours at our jobs, right? So if we fail to find opportunities to do good works there, we are throwing away half of our lives as far as fulfilling God's purpose for us here on earth. So I want you to evaluate your work or study life and ask yourself this question: am I doing the good deeds God has planned for me? What is my attitude towards my job or studies? Do I view the job as an opportunity to do the good deeds and meet the needs of people? Or do I simply view it as unnecessary to earn the money you need? You know, this also applies to a housewife as well. It is hard and it is an important job to raise children at home. I think being a housewife is the most important but most underappreciated job. No amen from moms? You know, sometimes doing the dishes, washing, cooking, and cleaning may at times seem insignificant and meaningless. But you are making your family happy, and you're meeting their needs, although most likely you won't get any feedbacks. Good deeds should begin at home. If we're out doing good deeds for others while neglecting the needs of our spouse, parents, or children, we're not practicing the true grace of goodness. I once heard this biblical marriage counseling session, and the topic was, who cleans the trash? The idea is to teach the couple to let goods to begin at home. Well, by the way, I clean trash in my home. And maybe that's the only thing I do at home, but I'm pretty good at it. The Apostle Paul told the Galatians to serve one another in love, and he entreated them to carry one another's burden. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Serving in love is an expression of goodness, and it should begin in our own family. Home is the best place to exercise the fruit of the Spirit. Some Christians find it easy to show goodness to outsiders, but in their own home, they fail to be good. Good deeds in our vocation and our homes are important. But also, there's a still big world out there for each of us with numerous opportunities for doing good. Because goodness is a disposition to promote the happiness of others, it certainly directs much of its energies to the spiritual and eternal needs of others. You know, we will always be too busy to help others unless we truly grasp the importance God put on our doing good deeds for others. But true goodness is self-sacrificing. True goodness does not look to the recipients or even to the results or of its deeds for its reward. It looks to God alone, and it gains the need strength to carry on. If you see in Matthew chapter 25, it gives us an example of good deeds. Feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirst, clothing the needy, showing hospitality to the stranger, attending to the sick, and visiting those in prison. Doing good deeds does not earn our admittance to heaven, but that they are necessary and vital evidence that we are bound for heaven. So consider your gifts, your talents, your vocation, and your circumstances as a special trust from God with which to serve Him by serving others. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Second, the fruit of light is found in righteousness. If the goodness is a fruit found in relationship with people, then the righteousness is a fruit found in relationship with God. We receive righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. True and perfect righteousness is not possible for man to attain on his own, since the standard is simply too high. But it is possible for mankind only through the cleansing of sin by Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This means that we are made righteous in the sight of God on account of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. On the cross, Jesus was treated as if he were a sinner, though he was perfectly holy and pure. And we are treated as if we were righteous, though we are defiled and depraved. On account of what the Lord Jesus has endured on our behalf, we are treated as if we had entirely fulfilled the law of God and never become exposed to its penalty. But we have received this precious gift of righteousness from the God of all mercy and grace. So as a response to this grace, and by relying on His true and perfect righteousness, we need to live a life of righteousness. The word righteousness here means the life away from the evilness and being ethical, honest, and sincere in action. In other words, this refers to the holy living. The position of the believers in this world is that we are saved and we are distinguished from the world by believing the truth and the holiness of the Holy Spirit. You know, when Christians lose his position in this world, we start to lose the light. We start to lose the power. Many Christian and Christian leaders fall due to the problem of holiness. It's not because they don't have any experience. It's not because they don't have ability. It's because we lose the power of holiness. And if you lose the power of holiness, smart people can collapse. Rich people can collapse. Reputable people can collapse, and even the mega church can collapse too. And you know what? It can happen very quickly. Power of holiness is very important. When you stick to God and maintain the holiness, then Satan cannot attack you. But when you lose the power of holiness, Satan will no longer fear you. Satan will start to shake your life. And no matter how much you work, God cannot receive the glory. For Christians living in this false and secularized world, holding on to the truth and living the holy life is hard, but very important. But Christians are those who are called by God. And those who are called by God does not bind to the world. In other words, we're not the people who stand in the place of lies and corruption. We are the people to fight with the sin and reveal light to the darkness of this world. A righteous living starts from God by having a right relationship with Him. The person who lives a godly and righteous life is not a perfect person who never sins. He or she is someone who serves the Lord, seeking to do His will and obey His word. So living a righteous life is to repent and ask for God's forgiveness when you sin, and quickly turn around and get back on the right track. Third, the fruit of light is found in truth. Fruit of light is found in truth. Goodness is in relationship with God, with people. Righteousness is in relationship with God, and the truth is in relationship with oneself. The word truth here means purity and honesty in our words and deeds. It is a life that does not deceive others. It is a life that is not ashamed before God and people. This world is filled with illegal and falsehood, but our Christian life must be different from this world. We must live with moral truth, salvation truth, and truth in action and in words. 3 John chapter 1, verse 3 to 4 says, "It gave me a great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." We need to believe the truth, hold the truth, and strive to live in truth. If you claim to be a Christian, you are then called to be a person of integrity. If someone asks you to do something that is underhanded or sneaky, walk away. If you think about doing something that is not right, then rethink about it. Nobody may be watching, but God is watching us. The big idea of the Christian life is Coram Deo. To live Coram Deo is to live one's entire life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, to the glory of God. To live in the presence of God is to understand that whatever we are doing and wherever we are acting under the gaze of God. To live all of life, Coram Deo, is to live a life of integrity. It is a life of wholeness that finds its unity and coherency in the majesty of God. A fragmented life is a life of disintegration. It is marked by inconsistency, disharmony, confusion, conflict, contradiction, and chaos. The Christian who compartmentalizes his or her life into two sections of the religious and the non-religious has failed to grasp the big idea. The big idea is that all of life is religious or none of life is religious. This means that if a person fulfills his or her vocation as a businessman, engineer, student, homemaker, or anything, Coram Deo, then that person is acting every bit as religiously as a soul-winning evangelist who fulfills his vocation. Living a life of Coram Deo will help us to be pure and honest in our words, deeds, and even in our thoughts. Being a man or woman of integrity means doing what is right in the eye of God and men, and especially in the eyes of unbelievers. You may lose the opportunity to bring someone to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because of a bad choice. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." We know that action speaks louder than words. Living out the gospel, the truth, is more important than just knowing the truth. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." It's a grace, but also it's a big obligation, big responsibility. Through you, may people see Jesus Christ. Through you. But we are weak, and often we don't meet that standard. But God helps us to be men and women of integrity and reflect his holiness in our lives. So we must seek him, follow his will, obey him, and we must let the light shine to people around us through our purity and honesty in our words and actions, so that people can see Jesus through us. I'd like to conclude my message. By God's grace, we have been saved and became God's children. And as the children of God, and as the individual church, we are called out to this world. So we need to walk as children of light. We need to live as a children of light and discern what is pleasing to the Lord by showing goodness, righteousness, and truth in our lives. The true Christians who knows God and walks in the light both obeys and loves his brother. The genuineness of his faith is seen in his right relations to both God and his fellow human beings. Jesus Christ, the true light, is a light of love, and therefore, to be or to live, or to walk in the light is to walk in love. Walking in the light is not only characterized by the absence of sin, but also by the presence of love. Light and love go together. If we love people, we want to encourage them and build them up, rather than sinning against them or causing them to stumble. But the lack of love distorts our perspective and blinds our vision. That is why we hate others. That is why we judge others and cannot truly love others. So if we lack in love, we may be walking in the darkness. So Scripture is encouraging us to love and reflect this light and let it shine to other people if you really love God. Jesus, who is the light, walked in love towards a crowd of needy and lost people who he daily encountered. And whenever and wherever he was there, he shone the light to the darkness. And he brought recovery, healing, reconciliation to those who were broken and led them to the light. And most importantly, he became the light by showing his love on the cross for us. So may you and may our church be the church that bear the fruit of light through goodness, righteousness, and truth in our life. So that as we walk as a children of light, as we live as a children of light, may the people around us and may the people in the world can see the light and come out from darkness as you share the love of Jesus Christ. And may you be the conduit of this blessing. Amen.